Yes. Okay. Looks like they are ready.
Yes. One or two.
We're back in business.
All right.
Okay, great. The captioning is working. Why don't you introduce the second?
Yeah, absolutely. We have new folks at the table, and I want to introduce Shannon Callahan, director at the Portland Housing Bureau, Eric Engstrom, principal planner at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and Kimberly Branham, the executive director of Prosper Portland. And they're going to go into kind of what does this look like for implementation? What is the work plan? But as a brief reminder, I will just quickly go over some topics from our work session. We have these kind of three North Stars. I'm on slide 5 of our presentation. These three big goals that we think balances both the aspirational and the practical nature of this work. So over the next 10 years, we have a roadmap to commit and grow new resources, to prevent displacement of vulnerable households, and to create new housing for all. So those are our kind of three driving forces behind this work. And in vetting the strategy, I just want to remind Council that our advisory group consistently asked, are we going to do things differently this time? Right, that was the big question they asked. And they followed up with, and will what we do be enough? And those are huge questions that are still unanswered today, and it can only really be answered through implementation, and especially some of the early actions that we can take. And the big indicators of whether we're doing something different is truly whether we capitalize this strategy with enough resources. And also whether we support community partners to continue to work with us in the long term in an accountable way. So it goes back to that community preservation work group proposal. So I want to acknowledge we have a lot more to do to capitalize this strategy. It identifies potential sources, but many of those are decisions in the future. Some our agency partners can take action on, but some of the voters will have to in the case of the regional housing bond. So this is just really a blueprint for our work. To answer the question about whether we're doing enough, we did measure kind of the actual need in the corridor and then set targets related to that need. So at least we know where we're trying to get to and what the actual need is. Portland and Tigard each set minimum housing targets based on current financial constraints and policies in place. And those, Shannon will give a little more detail about, but they would roughly, between Tigard and Portland, double the amount of regulated affordable housing in the corridor to about 1,600 units. Now, the stretch targets that we created were designed in a totally different way. They were designed to achieve big policy goals, and those are creating housing choice at each of the stations, each residentially zoned station, and preventing displacement where the risk is highest. And so that's where we came up with the 10-by-10 goal. So 10 stations with residential zoning, 10 buildings, and then an equal number of acquisitions where displacement risk is highest. So leadership is going to, from the bureaus, are going to give a little more detail about Portland's targets and then the work plan for moving the strategy into implementation. Shannon.
Thank you, Ryan. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Shannon Callahan of the Portland Housing Bureau. The Southwest Corridor Equitable Housing Strategy is the culmination of an unparalleled partnership to address transportation and housing in tandem as the region works toward the creation of the next light rail line. With careful planning, securing parcels for new development, and targeted efforts to prevent displacement and mitigate cultural displacement, the strategy aims to achieve equitable growth along the line. In Portland, we believe that the Housing Bureau has the means and the resources to achieve 300 to 350 new units of affordable housing along the corridor. To achieve the stretch targets will require additional resources. Ryan. We as a city have unfortunately learned very hard lessons when we have failed to prioritize affordable housing and the prevention of displacement when we make our transportation infrastructure investments. The strategy is more than just acknowledging those mistakes, but we are actively taking steps and adding resources to realize this plan. As I mentioned, we're prioritizing resources and the assets we have in the corridor to reach a portion of the targets, but new resources, again, will be required. The impending Metro bond is one potential source of new resources, as Director Branham will discuss. So are resources from tax increment financing districts. Our partnerships with organizations on the corridor will also be key to our success, ensuring that we are working with community-based organizations to engage households of color and low-income households is essential. And Eric Engstrom will detail our plans regarding the next steps for this partnerships. Underpinning all of the work we have planned in the corridor is the prevention of residential and cultural displacement. The corridor is an area of rich cultural diversity, and we want to work to implement new transportation infrastructure to ensure that the existing residents will benefit from that infrastructure. Two specific strategies have been identified: the early acquisition of units through the capitalization of land and a property acquisition fund, and expanded citywide tenant supports, including legal support, tenant counseling, landlord training, and financial services. We also need to ensure that we are maximizing the development potential for affordable housing along the corridor. With the announcement of the light rail line and its alignment, available land for sale becomes scarce, and the market begins to speculate. So securing land early, as you have heard, for future development is imperative. A key partner in the implementation of the strategy and the lead agency on the light rail line, TriMet, has worked with the Housing Bureau on a memorandum of understanding to ensure the availability of land to reach the goals in this strategy. We've had a series of extremely productive and collaborative discussions to reach the outlines of a memorandum of understanding, which will be presented to you with your action next week on the locally preferred alternative. I'd like to thank the entire team at TriMet for prioritizing these discussions, their shared commitment with the City of Portland to prioritize affordable housing, ensuring that families of all incomes can benefit from the fast, affordable transit service that will link these families to jobs and educational opportunities. I'd briefly like to share with you a little bit of the concept behind the developing MOU with TriMet. TriMet, and you'll hear momentarily from Dave Unsworth of TriMet as well. TriMet will work with the Housing Bureau to assess parcels that they have acquired for the development of the light rail line, but are not ultimately needed for the operation of that line. They will offer excess property to the Housing Bureau, enough to accommodate 600 to 700 new units of affordable housing. These sites will be sold at a discounted value, the equivalent of the federal portion of the appraised value in accordance with Federal Transportation Authority rules. And the City of Portland will, in collaboration with TriMet, look to maximize development potential on adjacent to other light rail lines as well as the Southwest Corridor.
So, Shannon, could I interrupt you for one moment? I just want to make clear that our current understanding with TriMet is that this MOU with TriMet to acquire the parcels, it will be executed this week prior to the LPA coming to the Portland City Council. Is that correct?
Both TriMet and the Housing Bureau have the commitment to bring you all of the draft terms related to housing with the City of Portland and the Housing, the City of Portland and TriMet with your LPA. The MOU has a multitude of other signers besides the City of Portland. There's other regional partners, but we have agreed that we will have language that will be agreed upon before you vote on your locally preferred alternative next week.
Very good, and I'll thank them again later, but I saw Bernie Bottomley in here somewhere, and I wanted to just thank him and the TriMet crew for working with us and being very flexible and working hard to expedite this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Kimberly Branham with Prosper Portland. And you've heard a lot about the critical importance of preserving and increasing affordable housing for residents along the Southwest Corridor. And as Commissioner Fritz mentioned, we're also mindful of the potential impacts on small local businesses. So as you'll see from this slide, we estimate that there are almost 1,000 businesses located within a quarter mile of the corridor whose employees and access to customers stand to benefit from proximity to the transit improvements. There are also approximately 350 businesses whose property could be directly impacted by the light rail line's construction or related property acquisition, almost 70% of which have fewer than 10 employees, so really are small businesses. Over the past 4 years, retail vacancy rates in the corridor have consistently been below 5%, which suggests that absent new construction and tenanting opportunities, businesses that are displaced would have a challenging time finding new places to do business along the corridor. So as the planning efforts move forward, we will work closely with our partners at Metro and TriMet, the Portland Housing Bureau, and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to develop tools and strategies to stabilize businesses and provide affordable commercial space as a key part of this project. Next slide, please. One of those funding sources that would provide tools for both affordable housing and affordable commercial space is tax increment finance. As you are all aware, there's a 15% cap on the acres within the city of Portland that can be within a tax increment finance district. As of today, there are about 2,500 acres that are available within the city of Portland for new or expanded tax increment finance districts under that cap. We've modeled two districts, one at approximately 930 acres, the other at approximately 500 acres, to provide you with a sense of the order of magnitude of resources that are available. With a set-aside policy of 45% for affordable housing, the larger district, as modeled, would yield approximately $54 million for the Portland Housing Bureau for their investments, which could fund an estimated 240 affordable housing units. These could also provide resources. The remaining $66 million could also provide resources through Prosper Portland to provide business loans and grants and investments in affordable commercial space. And it could also help support the local match for the light rail line itself. If 10% of the tax increment finance resources were devoted to the city's share of the local match, that would yield approximately $12 million. Next slide, please. Given needs in East Portland that we have heard and across Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative districts, we are recommending that we reserve 2,500 acres for a new and expanded TIF district in these areas of Portland. This reservation gives communities in East Portland and in Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative districts.
I'm really sorry. Believe it or not, we're having problems again. The crew upstairs has requested that we take a 5 to 10 minute recess so that they can fix whatever the problem is once and for all. So why don't we, it looks like it's about 5-ish minutes to 3. Why don't we reconvene at about 5 minutes after 3, and that'll give the crew a chance to work on it. Sorry for the interruption.
That's okay. Thank you.